welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll check on the mission of our Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers and get an update from the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Our differences and our diversity are what make your Minnesota National Guard strong. Regardless of our differences in gender, sexual orientation or identity, race or religion, we are united in our service. What matters in the Minnesota National Guard is the content of your character, your love of country, and your devotion to serve the people of our state and nation. In our Minnesota National Guard, there are more than 13,000 brave, hardworking, and dedicated men and women who come from many different walks of life. Soldiers and airmen of every creed, color, and background imaginable serve together with distinction and honor. Despite our differences, we wear the same uniform, serve the same state, and salute the same flag. In the Minnesota National Guard, there are pilots and military police, mechanics and cooks, logistics specialists, and cyber experts. These brave soldiers and airmen foster a culture of acceptance, dignity, and respect. Regardless of our differences, together we become a team, standing shoulder to shoulder to protect our great state and the United States of America, be it here at home, overseas, or wherever the call may take us. Our differences and our diversity are what make your Minnesota National Guard strong.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I indicated earlier, today we're going to learn all about the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. And here to discuss that with us is Nancy Launderville, who is the supervisor of the Family Assistance Centers, or FACTS, here in Minnesota. And Nancy, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for having me today.
Good to have you here in the studio. I think we had you on the air once from the golf tournament out at Bunker
Hills. Yes. Was a little warmer then, too.
Well, it was a little warmer, but it's winter in Minnesota. Nancy, I understand that you're a military wife of many years.
Yes, 32, actually.
32, and you've got a couple of grown boys that have served in the Army?
Yes, I have two grown boys that both have served active duty in the military and have been on a couple of deployments each. So we've kind of went through the whole gamut.
And your husband's still serving?
Yes, he is.
And who's he serving with?
He's serving with the 834th out of Arden Hills, and he'll also be deploying later on this year.
So the Minnesota Army National Guard.
Correct.
And probably be a part of that September deployment for the 34th ECAB.
Yes, correct.
The Red Devils.
Yes.
All right. So you've experienced a number of deployments.
A number of deployments. I actually had one where all three of them were out of the country at the same time, and I was the only one on U.S. soil for about a year.
I'll bet that was a lonely year.
That was a very interesting year. Yep. Spent a lot of time with the dog.
Well, Nancy, now you're the supervisor of the Minnesota FAC, or the Family Assistance Centers, and you've been with them about 3.5 years. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Can you describe for our listeners out there the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers? What is it and what do you do?
Sure. The Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers are a mandated DOD program. However, we are contractors that work to provide assistance to service members and their families with a variety of services. Mainly it's to resources that they may need. So it's referrals to different resources within their community that can help them with any problems that they have. If they're looking for someone that needs, that can help them fix their car, then we can set them up with possibly a military-friendly mechanic in the area. If they have a hot water heater go out, potentially we can help them find someone that can fix it, that will also provide them with a military discount. So we're kind of a yellow pages, so to speak, for military families to use instead of trying to go through everything on their own. We can usually cut that time down in half and direct them to a place that they can go and get help.
So you help provide support to the families particularly when they have a loved one deployed overseas.
Yes, exactly. We tend to get a fair amount of business, but when we do have deployments in the state going on, our calls into our offices generally pick up a little bit with issues that are happening. Service member spouses haven't experienced some of these things on their own before, so they don't know where to turn or how to get started.
So, Nancy, it's my understanding that a lot of times when we have a service member, a husband or a wife that is deployed, that sometimes the family's making less money. Maybe both aren't still working full time, and one spouse is gone and the other spouse is left home to hold down the home front, take care of the kids, do all those things. And sometimes because of the deployments, they experience financial emergencies or other problems where they just need some help. So you have a list of resources available to help them with?
Yes, we do. And that's exactly right. Most of the time when that service member walks out the door, that's when something's going to happen at home. Like I said, I've been through it multiple times where as soon as my husband has left, something is either broke or I've broken something or something has happened that I need to get fixed. And hopefully I can get it fixed before he gets back home.
Or even finds out about it.
Yes.
And that's another problem because
right.
there's such good communications today with the technology being what it is that there's two sides of that. The deployed husband or wife has to focus on the mission so they can get it done and get home safe. But the family also doesn't have that spouse there to help with the issues. And do you hide things? Do you talk about things? Do you
right.
work through things? I think it was simpler when I went to Vietnam, you know, 4 decades ago. We didn't know what was going on back home. We just took care of the mission and came back.
Right.
Today
right.
it's a little more complicated.
Yeah, and we do have a lot of financial programs that we can refer people to get help with. One we're going to talk about today is the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, which is a grant program that can assist our service members and their families with financial emergencies.
We're speaking with Nancy Launderville, the supervisor of the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Nancy, we are going to talk about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation in the second segment, and we've got a special guest going to join us for that. But I know that you have a kind of a long list of resources to help military families with any number of things.
Right. So we have each office, there are 10 of them in the state of Minnesota, and each office has a what we refer to as our smart book of resources in that community that can help service members and their families. So we have lists of churches, we have lists of food shelves, we have lists of mechanics, car repair services, anything that could potentially happen while a service member is gone, whether it be during a deployment or at training, that family could potentially utilize.
So here in Minnesota, Nancy, we're kind of ahead of the curve. We have the Yellow Ribbon communities, the Yellow Ribbon companies that are out there to help with things like shoveling snow and mowing the lawn and some of those issues. But we've also got the Family Assistance Centers, and you work closely with the family readiness groups of each of the units so that if they can provide some help or some assistance or just a visit, they do. But then if they get to some more serious issues, then the first place for those military families to come to is Family Assistance Center.
Correct. And that's what we want to make sure that our service members tell their families, is that if there ever is a need, to make sure that they reach out to their Family Assistance Centers. We are providing simply a resource for them to go to, so that we'll refer them to the Yellow Ribbon or we'll refer them to another military program that might be able to help them.
So you're there, the Family Assistance Centers, to help our military families, just like the county veteran service officers are out there to help our veterans.
Correct.
And you keep track of all the resources available. They keep track of resources available for veterans. So it's kind of the two important shops to stop. Military families, Family Assistance Center, veterans, county veteran service officers.
Exactly. That's exactly correct.
Now, what's the best way for our listeners to get a hold of the Family Assistance Centers if they need them?
Sure. I stated that we had 10 offices around the state of Minnesota. We are working on an 800 number that will be up and running shortly, but I would encourage you to call 612-618-6927, which is my number, and I can direct you to the closest office to where the service member or their family is located.
612-618-6927.
Correct.
We'll see if we can't get Sergeant Johnny to post that on Facebook so that number's out there. Nancy, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have a special guest joining us right here in the studio, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Nancy Launderville, who's the supervisor of the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers here in Minnesota. And we have, Nancy, we have a special guest that's joined us in the studio today, and that is retired Major General John Trost. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's fun to be back. I'm not sure we're a special guest anymore, but it's still fun to be here.
Well, anytime we have a general officer in the studio, sir, it's a good day. Could you tell us a little bit, how long did you serve?
I was fortunate. I served 41 years in the Minnesota National Guard, and the last 7.5 of them were full-time. So I did my career kind of backwards, did the full-time piece at the end instead of up front. So that's probably not the only thing some people would say I've done backwards either.
Well, at the end, you had to spend a little time at the Pentagon, too.
We spent some time at the Pentagon and spent some time out at TRADOC out in Virginia, and spent most of the time on the road for the last 3 years and traveling an awful lot, but get out to see some of the different schoolhouses that the Army has and get around soldiers. And then every time you get around soldiers, it just fills the gas tank back up. So I had a lot of fun doing that.
In general, you spent a lot of years commanding and taking care of your soldiers. And now that you're retired, you're the vice president of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you're still taking care of the soldiers and the military families.
You know, once it's in your blood, it's there. So we got to continue to do this thing. And I'm so fortunate to be able to continue to help our service members today. It really does get in your blood, as you say, Tom. And we're so fortunate here in Minnesota. We really have an outstanding force. So many quality service members here. And it's just such a treat and a thrill to be able to take care of these great service members that we have.
General, can you share with our listeners how long has the Minnesota Military Family Foundation been around, and what's the mission?
You know, the Family Foundation, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, started in 2004 over a conversation about how can we help military families, and since that time, we have really, really been able to make a difference for our service members. Over the course of this time, we've spent about $4 million of the association's revenue. We've actioned over 1,800 grant requests to different families, and it's just really a powerful thing once you can see the grant requests that come in, and it is compelling at that point in time.
In general, the mission is to provide emergency financial relief to our Minnesota military families as a result of service to country.
You know, our soldiers tell us when they are about to be deployed or serving our country, take care of my families. And that's what we have set out as a mission statement. We are a financial safety network for the currently serving service members in Minnesota. And we're very proud of what we've been able to accomplish and how we can help our families. And I think if you ever do get a chance to go online and look at some of the testimony that's online, it's very evident and that's making a difference. So we're very proud of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
And, sir, the MMFF, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, has an all-volunteer board, and their expense ratio is very low. And all we really do is raise funds, correct?
That's one of our key things that we must do is raise funds to make sure that we can meet our obligation and our mission to our families. We are an all-volunteer board, and that's very critical in today's date. There are some foundations that aren't quite as outstanding as what we think we are, but 97% or more of our money is going to mission. We take no salaries. We have no building. It's all volunteer. Anything that we need is pro bono, and we work hard at it. We do have to pay for an audit, and that's by federal law. So we have to do that, and that's where some of the percentage of money that doesn't go to mission. But we're so proud of the fact that we can get to make the claim that 97% of our money is going to mission. That's truly a big deal for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
So it's a 501c3 charitable foundation, nonprofit.
501c3 nonprofit tax deductible donation.
We're speaking with retired Major General John Trost and Nancy Launderville on Minnesota Military Radio. The General, the MMFF, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, has no employees, all volunteers, and they raise money. And you work closely with the Family Assistance Centers because Nancy and her troops are the delivery vehicle for the money.
You know, we're in this as a team. We really need Nancy's Family Assistance Centers to find and channel the requests to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And they also look at the request to make sure that it is all above board and do the quality and the triage of the request that comes to us. So it's all on the up and up. And we're proud to say that 99% of the grant requests that come to us are approved, and there's very few that are disapproved.
Nancy, we just got a few minutes left here, but can you tell us how does the grant process work and how do you work with the MMFF?
Sure, I'd love to. So a service member will come into one of our offices or maybe possibly call one of our Family Assistance Center specialists and give them information regarding their situation. We will then, if we feel that they're a good candidate for the Family Foundation grant, we will have them fill out some paperwork. They need to provide 3 months worth of bank statements. And then we take that information and it gets sent over to me. I accumulate everything, put it all together, and then I send it over to the board to get their response on the grant request. So it's a fairly fast process depending on how quickly we get the paperwork back from the service member or their family. But we can easily turn around a grant within just a few hours.
So you get a grant request, you verify that it's a financial emergency, you do the due diligence to and occasionally help them find a contractor to fix the problem, and then you send a grant request into the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Correct. And the good thing about the grant grant itself is that the foundation pays the contractor or the creditor directly, so there's no inconvenience of the service member having to go somewhere to pick up the check or us having to mail them the check separately before the contractor can get started. The foundation sends out the check directly to the creditor, which is a huge time savings.
Now, Nancy, how long does it take? How many weeks does the board take to analyze your grant request?
The board literally can take an hour. Or if it's over a weekend, maybe it's a couple hours. But like I said, those grant requests, once we get the paperwork in and validate everything, they can turn them around within a few minutes. So it's very, very quick.
General, on the board side, I understand Nancy sends a grant request to our executive director. What happens after that?
Once our executive director receives the grant request, he forwards that out to all the different board members, and the board members all have the ability to input and offer comments on the grant request that comes forward. And sometimes there's some little pieces of information we might want to look at, but almost always those grant requests are turned over in a matter of minutes. We have a standard. We want it done within 2 hours. And it's all, we're almost always beating that unless there's some sticky thing about a grant request, which seldom happens. But it's a wonderful deal, and it's really neat to see how fast it can be turned.
And then the board notifies Nancy it's been approved, and then what's the process for paying?
Once approved, the executive director sends Nancy a note back and says send the payment information to the treasurer, and the treasurer then writes a check and sends it to the vendor. Now, each one of these different grant requests can have multiple checks in them to go into multiple different vendors. I did one once when I was pinch hitting for the treasurer. I wrote 13 checks for one grant request. So it's a great way to do business. The money goes where it has to go to fix a problem, and it's really it's a good way to do it.
Nancy, thank you, General. Nancy, we've got about a minute left.
Okay.
What would you like to tell our listeners on 55 stations all over the state about Family Assistance Centers and a great resource like the MMFF?
So the Family Assistance Centers are here to help service members and their families when they run into something that they're not quite sure how to solve or where to, or they don't know where to go to get the help. We are here to help you with that. So our ask is that you reach out to us and give our offices a call, share with us your information. We're completely confidential, and we can get you the resources and help that you need. If it's something where a grant would be beneficial, we're happy to work with you on that and send those requests on over to General Trost and his team to take a look at.
And if you need to get a hold of the Family Assistance Centers, the phone number, once again, is 612-618-6927. That's 612-618-6927. Nancy, thanks for joining us today in the studio. And General Trost, 10 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
No, but if you have some spare cash, you send it to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. We're always raising money so we can take care of soldiers.
And that website is MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Correct. Thank you.
General, thanks for joining us. Nancy,
thanks,
thank you.
Tom.
That was retired Major General John Trost and Nancy Launderville from the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to get an update from the Marine Corps League right here in Minnesota. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're going to, in a moment, talk to the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota and find out what they're up to these days in 2019. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King Jr. federal holiday as a national day of service. This milestone is the perfect opportunity for Americans to honor Dr. King's legacy through service. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all. His vision was to create the beloved community. Dr. King encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying principles of nonviolence to this country to make a better place to live. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community. Volunteer at a veteran's home, the VA hospital, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now from the Minnesota Marine Corps League is Commandant Doug Anderson. Commandant, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
Commandant, I think we mentioned this last time. We were on the air at the Christmas show with a couple other Marines.
Yes.
Which was pretty rowdy, three Marines at one time on the show.
Yeah, we behaved ourselves.
But leave it to, you know, in the Commander's Task Force, that's the Minnesota or Department Commanders of all the various veteran service organizations, and they're all referred to as commanders except for one, Commandant.
That's the Marine Corps way.
There they are, the Marine Corps way. Can you tell us, when did you join the Marine Corps?
I joined the Marine Corps itself. I joined in July of 1980, so I was delayed entry right before my senior year of high school. And I went in June of 1981 after I graduated, about 5 days after I graduated high school.
The boot camp was out in San Diego?
Yes, boot camp was out in San Diego, beautiful San Diego, and San Diego and up at Camp Pendleton, because they ship you back and forth between, so when you have to go up into the mountains for your IT training, your infantry training, they ship you up there. When you have to go on the rifle range, they ship you up there too.
So you were involved in aviation electronics?
Yeah, I was an avionics person, so aviation electrician is what my field was, and I was working on F-4 Phantoms.
And during your time in the Marine Corps, you were assigned to the USS Midway.
Yes, I was. Our squadron from 1976 until 1984 always had a detachment on the USS Midway based out of Yokosuka, Japan.
So you were out to sea aboard the Midway for 118 days.
On one of the cruises, yes. Two cruises I went on. The second cruise was the longest. We actually got, what's a good word to put? We missed going to Perth, Australia because of the Kitty Hawk in 1984 that hit the Russian sub.
Okay.
So we actually ended up spending 10 more days out at sea than we were supposed to.
So you were on the USS Midway. Now, you went to boot camp in San Diego. You were on the USS Midway. Now the USS Midway is retired.
Yes, it is.
And it's docked in downtown San Diego.
Yes, it is, right by the airport. Coming right out of the airport, you can see the big 41 on the side of the island. That's where it is, and you can go aboard it, and you can tour it.
So for our veterans, for a small fee, I think it was like $10. I did this some months ago.
Yes.
You can wander around the Midway all day long.
Yes, you can. I spent the whole day out there a couple of years ago, and from the time it opened up until the time it closed, I was up on board. And the nice thing being a Midway veteran is you identify yourself, and security takes you behind everything else, and you can actually go see some of the places that you know about on the ship. And when I did that, it was kind of funny because the security guys, well, the Marines were down here. And I said, well, those are the Marine detachment. Those weren't the Marine squadron. And he's like, oh, and he didn't even have the right passageway. I had to show him where it was.
So did you go back and visit that tiny bunk that you had to sleep in?
Yes, I did. And I went, yeah, that's it. I still have a picture of it at home, you know, because people ask me how big it was. And it's like, it's not very big. It was a top bunk. I had two steam pipes overhead. You know, who knows if they had asbestos in them. It's
that's why you've got those bumps on your head.
That's
too.
Why, yeah, when you wake up in the morning real fast, yeah, you had to be careful.
Well, Commandant, you were in the Marines till 1987. How did you get to the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota?
Actually, I was at a Fox 27 reunion. So my father-in-law was a Marine in Korea, and he served with Fox Company with the Marine Corps. Fox 27 was actually the people that were at Tectonic Pass during the Chosin Reservoir time. And so he had passed away 2 months before the reunion here in Minneapolis. And I went to the reunion with my mother-in-law in his stead, and I met just these great guys from the Chosin. They're, you know, great. They got great sense of humor and everything else. Well, I was there. Somebody came walking in a uniform with dress blues and a white shirt. And I was kind of like, well, what are you? And he said, well, I'm with the Marine Corps League. Haven't you ever heard of us? And I said, no. And so that's how I got started. So in October of 2010, I joined.
And you worked your way up through the chairs, and now you're the State or Department Commander.
Yes, I am.
Commandant. Excuse
yes.
me. Marines. Commandant. I'm sorry. So tell us about the Marine Corps League. Who's eligible to join, and any special people that can sign up?
So to be a regular member, you have to be a honorably discharged Marine veteran or an FMF corpsman, so Fleet Marine Force corpsman, or Navy chaplain. Those were regular members. We also have associate members because we have a lot of people that maybe their family member was a Marine, and they want to be part of the camaraderie that we have, and we invite those people to be associate members.
So my father and my older brother were in the Marines, so I might be eligible for that.
You can be an associate member with us, Tom. No problem. We can sign you up.
We'll talk about that off air, Commandant. We're speaking to Doug Anderson, Commandant of the Minnesota Marine Corps League on Minnesota Military Radio. So what is the mission of the Marine Corps League, and how many members do you have?
Well, right now we have a little over 600 members from the last count. I just got the roster yesterday, so I haven't added it up, but it looks about 600 members right now in around the state. We've got anywhere from Brainerd, Park Rapids, all the way down to the Adrian, Minnesota area, which is our newest detachment.
So how many detachments do you have then?
We have 14 official ones, but we have one detachment that is getting disbanded because of the age of the detachment. There's only 3 members still alive from that one, and that's the one way up north.
Okay.
So we're down to 13.
Do we have any idea how many Marine Corps veterans we have in Minnesota?
We have a lot of them. And when you talk to them, because I run into them all the time, as you can tell by the jacket I wore today.
We can tell who you are from a long
yes,
way off.
A long way off. And if you know, the hat doesn't hurt either. And they kind of come walking up to you and say, you know, first thing a Marine says to another Marine, Semper Fi. And it's like, oh, hey, you ever heard about the Marine Corps League? And they'll say, well, no, what is that? And then you give them information. The unfortunate part is when you invite them to a meeting, they never show up. But then I'll get emails and phone calls like Facebook. Our Facebook page does wonders for us because we'll get emails through there and they'll say, hey, where do you guys meet? You know, I want to come in. And it's the older members that we have coming in right now, but we have started to get some younger members in.
Have you ever tried to tell the Marines if they come to the meeting, you'd give them a free cheeseburger and a glass of beer?
Well, we try that, yeah. And it works one time.
One time.
Because when they come back, they want another one.
So that gets a little expensive.
Yeah, it gets a little expensive.
All right. So tell us about what you do as an organization in your communities.
Well, what we do is we are there to assist any Marine that calls upon us for help. So we have funds that are available, or if they need some help with getting, who to contact. Let's say they need help from the VA, they need help from a county service officer. We can help them out with that. Any of the detachments around the state, if they call me up and they say, well, I live down southern Minnesota, I can give them a name to contact down there. And they can help them out and direct them to services that they might need. We have had people call on us for desperate financial situations where we had one that was a widow of a Marine that actually he died, and there was his two sons. One has cancer. The other one got into a real bad car accident, so we were helping them out. But the thing was, is this lady, the veteran, the Marine veteran that died, was a Vietnam vet. He had symptoms of Agent Orange, and his kid had the same thing. So she was really desperate, and they were going to turn off her power, turn off her gas, everything to her house. So we stepped in, paid off those bills to get everything, make sure the lights stayed on, basically, and then got her the help from the county service officer.
Now, were they able to file a claim even though that he died?
Yes. The Agent Orange, from what I've read over the years, is that it goes down, I think now, two generations is what they're saying.
And we're here, and I'm a member of the VVA, the Vietnam Veterans of America, and a Vietnam veteran, and I'm hearing even more generations than just two.
Yes.
And so in that particular place, I'm glad you were able to get her to a county veteran service officer and get her some help.
Yes.
To help her throughout her life.
Yeah, and she did get the help, and she did get the VA benefits that were coming to her.
Good work, Commandant. Commandant, we have to take a short break. We're speaking to Doug Anderson, the Commandant of the Marine Corps League in Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Doug Anderson, the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota. And, Doug, we've talked about your time in the Marine Corps and being on the USS Midway that's out in San Diego, and the Marine Corps League and your detachments. And, of course, we want all those Marines that haven't signed up yet to come over and join you. One of the reasons that you want to build your numbers is because you're a member of what's a thing called a Commander's Task Force.
Yes.
Which is made up of the veteran service organizations throughout Minnesota, VFW, American Legion, DAV, Purple Hearts, Marine Corps League, and there's nine of them. And what you do is you combine your numbers in terms of membership so that you can go up to Capitol Hill and start working on, continue to work on legislation that help our veterans.
That is correct, Tom. Yeah, and we really, as a task force, that's what we concentrate solely on, is what's good for our veterans in the state. What help do they need? What legislation do we need to get passed? It's kind of been an experience for me because I'm really not a political guy, but Ripley in October really kind of like, okay, this is how it's done.
So we've had you guys on the show a few times, and you get the opportunity to meet with the other department commanders.
Yes.
And the president of the Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota, and of course, you're the commandant. But you get together once a month and you talk about some priorities to help veterans and their families.
Yeah, we try to keep our priorities down to four of them is what they really want us to concentrate on. The big, what four big issues are we going to go after this year during the legislative session? And it's kind of a back and forth as far as, because there's some people on the task force that are very passionate about one thing, but the other members of the task force are like, okay, well, yeah, we appreciate that you have this passion for it, but we really, is that helping all the veterans in the state?
So you try to prioritize and take the four best issues up to the Capitol.
Yes, that's what we try to do every year.
And we've been covering for the last 8 years an event that happens up at the Capitol. It's just called Veterans on the Hill.
Yes, Veterans Day on the Hill, where you actually get to talk to the legislature. All the legislatures that come in, they'll talk to you. You want to really say, hey, you know, we'd like to get this these bills passed, and we have sponsors for them. That's kind of the biggest thing that I always try to do, is try to find the sponsors for them.
So it's January. We've got a new governor. We've got new commissioners. The legislature is getting ready to come back into session on March 20th. You're going to have Veterans Day on the Hill.
Veterans Day on the Hill for all you Marines out there. Come on out.
And last year we had a real big turnout. I think the DAV got some buses and brought people in from all over the state.
Yeah, the DAV does a wonderful job with that. And you know, it's just not a drive up here. We have buses that are going out to get you, come on in, because we want those veterans to, you know, their voice needs to be heard there, up at there.
And I know there's some information on the DAV website. It's davmn.org, and it's March 20th, Veterans Day on the Hill. All you Marines out there, put on your red Marine shirts and caps and so forth, and get out there with the Commandant and talk to your elected officials.
That's exactly right. Come unarmed, please.
Well, they don't allow any weapons on the Hill.
No, they don't.
But come ready to speak and shake hands and be convincing.
Right. Get your voice be heard. If there's something that you are passionate about and you want your the legislature to know, come on out. That's how you get heard.
Commandant, I think you told me off the air, or you implied this, you want to see more Marines over there than any other group.
Yeah, I would like to see a lot of Marines out there. And, you know, the boisterous Marines know how to yell. Marines know how to talk loudly and get attention. So
we usually know if there's a Marine in the room.
You always know when there's a Marine in the room.
And there'll be a few Navy guys that are used to hauling you fellas around. And us Air Force people will be there to give you some top cover.
Yeah.
And, of course, we'll surround you by soldiers so you can't get in too much trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, somebody's got to do the dirty work. So,
Commandant, we just got a few seconds left. What do you have to say to those Marines that haven't joined the Marine Corps League yet?
Oh, give us a call. Look us up on Facebook with Department of Minnesota on Facebook. That's all you got to do, Department of Minnesota Marine Corps League. Look us up. Contact us. We'd love to have you. We want you to get involved with us, because the only way that you're going to make a difference in this country and in this state is if you get involved and we hear your voice.
Well, Commandant, we all took an oath of office when we joined the military, and nobody's ever relieved us, so they've still got work to do.
We still have a lot of work to do, and yes, your oath of enlistment has not expired.
Commandant, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it.
That was Doug Anderson, the Commandant of the Marine Corps League here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and also the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. Robbie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Happy New Year.
Robbie, good to talk to you, and I just want to tease the fact you're going to join us in the studio next week so that we can do a long-form discussion and kind of a year in review all the things that the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers are doing. But today we want to talk briefly about VA home loans. Can you tell us what type of VA home loans are available to our veterans?
Yeah, sure can, Tom. You know, the VA offers several home loan programs to help veterans buy, build, or improve a home or refinance their current loan. You know, including a VA direct loan and three VA back loans. You know, the loans are as follows. You got a VA back purchase loan, a cash out refinance loan, a Native American direct loan, and an interest rate reduction refinance loan.
A few more types of loans that I thought about. Can you give us just a little bit more of each of these?
Yeah, I sure can. At first, with the VA back purchase loan, the VA guarantees or stands behind a portion of the loan that a veteran gets from a private lender. You know, if your VA-backed home loan goes into foreclosure, the guarantee allows the lender to recover some or all of their losses. And since there's less risk for the lender, they're more likely to give you the loan under better terms.
So you get a little better interest rate, maybe.
Yep. And lenders follow the VA's standards when making the VA-backed home loan. So they may require you to meet additional standards before giving you the loan. The next one, the cash-out refinance loan, lets you replace your current loan with a new one under different terms. You know, and if you take the cash out of your home equity or refinance a non-VA loan into a VA-backed loan, you know, you might have money to help pay off some debt, pay for school, or even make home improvements or other needs.
So if you've got a lot of equity in your home, you might be able to take out a larger mortgage and then consolidate some debt.
Yep. Just might be able to do that. Then there's the Native American direct loan, and with that loan, the VA serves as the veteran's mortgage lender. It means that you work directly with the VA to apply for and manage your loan. And the Native American Direct Loan Program often has better terms than a home loan from a private lender, a private bank, mortgage company, or a credit union. And lastly, the interest rate reduction refinance loan lets you replace your current loan with a new one under different terms. You know, if you have an existing VA-backed home loan and you want to refinance to reduce your monthly mortgage payments or make your payments more stable, an interest rate reduction, you know, might be right for you.
How do you know if you're eligible for a VA home loan?
Well, to get a VA direct or VA-backed home loan, you'll need a certificate of eligibility to show your lender that you qualify for the benefit based on your service history and duty status. You need to get that, like I said, that certificate of eligibility. And keep in mind that you'll also need to meet your lender's credit and income requirements to get a loan. There's also different service requirements for veterans and service members on active duty and different ones for National Guard and Reserve members.
So you can find out more about VA home loans at va.gov or by visiting your local county veteran service officer or the veteran service officer in any county. Robbie, looking forward to having you in the studio next week so that we can find out all about 2018 and see what's coming up for this year, 2019.
I'm really looking forward to it. I'll be glad to sit down with you and talk face-to-face this week.
Thanks for joining us today, Robbie.
Thank you for having me.
That was Robbie Robinson, the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Nancy Launderville from the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers, Major General John Prost from the MMFF, Doug Anderson from the Marine Corps League, Robbie Robinson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we get our Red Bull update from Kuwait and visit with the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.